Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You alright? Hope you are. Sincerely hope you are.
Me, yeah, I'm alright.
Come on, out of bed. Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey. The day's half over. You bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking around for the day ahead. Hope you are. Hope you are. Let's do it. As always, I'm joined by, nearly always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
Disembodied voice of the producer there. There he is. Okay, it is now 8 in the a.m. Pardon me, 8 in the a.m. British summertime. On Thursday, the 10th of September, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Impeccable taste, tune into the Bow Show live. Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as the Bo Show. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, don't you forget about me, hashtag the real LBC. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. It's got many names. All right, let's just get straight into it then, shall we? That's enough faffing about. It's quite enough fannying about for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. All right, what have we got? Oh, it's a Farage Day. It's a Farage Day, they've decided. That cabal of evil, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors. They've decided they're going to dunk on Reform and Farage today. All right, what have we got? Is my mouse not playing well? Oh, here we go. Right. Farage faces Met inquiry and ready for departure. There was more trouble with the aeroplanes. Air traffic control. 2 days worth of problems with that now. But yeah, most of the papers, most of the front pages, they've all decided they got the call on the BlackBerry. They got the 1994 era pager. You're all gonna dunk on Farage today, yeah? Yeah? Don't talk about Ehud Barak, though, like every day, yeah? Okay, good. Right. Farage faces Met inquiry. Let's start with the Times, the venerable Times. Or Clarkson on cars, cancer and calves. Calves as in the sheep, I imagine, not like your leg muscle. Because he had cancer, but he's got better, hasn't he? I think he's better, is that right? Harry, do you know? I know you like Clarkson, don't you? You watch Clarkson from...
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's better now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, God willing, I quite like Jezza. Okay, air traffic chief urged to quit over, quote, avoidable, quote, airport chaos. So 2 days worth now, and it's the third time it's happened on his watch in like 18 months or something. People said you should quit, but he said he won't. That's sort of it. There's no point really going into tons more detail than that. Yeah, apparently it's affecting loads of people, like 700,000 people or something. Can that be right? We have that many internal flights. I think it's mainly internal flights as well, but not just internal flights. Anyway, problems with our air traffic control. Is it the Ruskies doing some sort of cyber attack on us, or is it just that our systems are a bit crap? Who knows at this point? All right. Andy Bumham, King of the North, no Stern and Burnham with his guy liner. Look, he got up early in the morning to put his mascara on. He's going jogging. He actually looks a little bit more svelte than he did. Okay, pretending that he does loads of cardio. Prime Minister Andy Burnham there. Universities promise work experience for all students. Not like year 11. Go to uni to do the degree in that. I don't... Actually, it depends, doesn't it? Some degrees, it probably we would be really good if it was like, or really necessary even. If you're doing like a business management degree, then maybe, okay. If you're doing physics or ancient history, probably not so much. Okay, here we go. The main story of the day. Farage faces Met inquiry over Reform donations, sort of, again. Key allies linked to illegal foreign funding. All right, so the story is... I mean, okay, where to begin? If you pay attention to the news or even watch the Bo show regularly, you'll know there's a fair bit of a backstory to this. So Farage and Reform and Tice were already under investigation by, like, the Standards Committee, the Parliamentary Standards Committee, and the police for, well, originally the Chris Harborne £5 million to Farage and then another £1 million to Tice, like a separate thing. I mean, it'll all be bound up in the same sort of thing, but a separate amount of money. Whether it went through one of Tice's other companies before it made its way to actual Reform coffers and got spent. Okay, now there's this thing where they had to get rid of James Orr, do you remember, at the weekend, and some kid called Jake, who was one of Nigel's closest aides. Everyone's got AIDS. AIDS. As in, not as in, like, HIV AIDS, obviously. One of Nigel's closest aides, and James Orr, who's like a professor-type dude, isn't he? James Orr, who's like head of their policy and stuff. Quite a serious individual, relatively. Anyway, they threw them under the bus, or it appears they threw them under the bus. Over a completely different set of spending irregularities. Potentially irregularities. And so now the police are investigating that as well. And they said they'll fold it all into the same investigation. Some sort of more, basically a more broadening of the police investigation into Reform donations. Potential corruption. Now I'll say, as I've said all along, and I'll say it again, innocent until proven guilty, in my opinion. If they are shown to have broken the rules and or the law, then I'll jump on that bandwagon and try and make political hay out of it and dunk on them and all that. But until then, no, I'm not going to. No, because they may well have done nothing wrong. I don't know. I'm not just going to... I always find it cheap and lame on Twitter, for example, when there's one tiny allegation about Restore or Reform or the choice or whatever, there's a tiny bit of allegation, tiny bit of smoke. And people jump all over it and saying, it's over. Reform is over. Restore is over. Is it? It's just an allegation at this stage. It's the tiniest, tiniest chink in the armour. Barely even a chink in the armour. But Reform's over now. Restore's over now. The Green Party's over now. Well, no. Make yourself look a little bit silly. Really. Wait and see what it really is. As I say, if they are shown to have done something wrong, well, then at that point, you know, at that point, feel free to go to town, in my opinion. This is all just my opinion, of course, but there's nothing dumber than making a mountain out of a molehill, and at the end of it, it is proven to be a molehill. Not even that. An imaginary molehill, and you try to make a mountain out of it. It's not a good look, I don't think. So, all right, with all that being said, let's see, because it may well be that Reform and Tice and Farage are completely corrupt and broken all sorts of laws all over the place. It could well be, if I had to put a tenner on it right now, probably put it on this, that this is all a political witch hunt. I suspect it is basically a political witch hunt. Maybe at the end of the day, they were shown to have broken a few minor rules, but not any laws. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it at that. But it's the main story all over Fleet Street today and a lot of the websites. So I thought I'd spend a few minutes, you know, sort of talking about it. But that's it. That's where we are. There's just more threads. The police have got more threads that they're investigating about Reform donations. That's it. That's basically it. Okay, let's have a look. The Guardian. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. The Guardian. Oh, that's like... It's like the bog of eternal stench. It's like, oh, smells terrible. I coat in the back of my throat with some disgusting... Oh my God. Okay. The Guardian, enough to turn your stomach. Globalist lot, socialist subversion. Of course they go with it. Police launch inquiry into alleged overseas donations to Reform UK. Scandal around Farage's party deepens following undercover sting on TV. Undercover sting by activists, though. Just completely neutral journalism, is it? Was it? They have been shown to be sort of they like climate activist types. Certainly, just the stripe of politics that would hate Reform and Nigel. They are that. They were that. That's for sure, isn't it? I mean, that's for sure. Connor Tomlinson, ex-employee of the Lotus Eaters and still good friend and associate of the Lotus Eaters, did a good video on it the other day, talking about it in a bit of detail, who they really are, like the people behind the TV sting. All right. What else we got? Oh, Noel Clark charged with sexual offences. Anyone remember Noel Clark? I take it, Little Harry, I guess you don't know Noel Clark? Never heard the name?
Absolutely no clue.
Okay. Fair enough. So anyone who's not old enough or is just foreign probably would never heard of Noel Clark. He's some black dude who years ago, like more than 10 years ago, maybe much more, was sort of flavour of the month. They commissioned him to make all sorts of TV and movies. There was one called Kidulthood, and then there was a sequel, Adulthood, or maybe it was the other way around. And anyway, talking about Britain and like what it's like to be black in Britain and all that sort of thing. Then after some success on the small screen and the big screen, the BBC like to, and other news outlets, like to wheel him out as like a token black man voice. Right? You know, the sort of thing. We want someone that's brown to come on a panel, come on TV, and just peddle the victimhood narrative in Britain. They'd often use Noel Clark. So he's a total, total scumbag. Obnoxious scumbag. I was in Doctor Who, sorry, I just glanced down at the chat. He was also in Doctor Who, wasn't he? I don't watch Doctor Who, you see, at all. But I am aware that he had been in Doctor Who, so there's that, alright. Now, apparently these offences are, like, reasonably old. They go back to, like, I can't read that, but from memory, they were saying it was between 2007 and 2016, like, five different women. I don't think they're full-blown rapes, but they're, like, exposing himself, sexual assault of a slightly less nature. I don't know all the details, but... Okay, so... And the CPS are charging him, and he's going to court for them. Five different women. Now, again, innocent until proven guilty. However, you are still allowed to speculate, aren't you? Like I did with Nigel. I'll say innocent until proven guilty, but I'll speculate. My speculation on that is I'll put a tenner on. I think this is probably what happened. All right, let's do the same with Noel Clark. I'll speculate he probably did bad things. Yeah, five women. When there's multiple women, it's much more damning on the balance, of probabilities. There's just one woman alleges one thing against you. Right, that's bad enough, isn't it? I'm not saying that's not bad. Of course it is. But when it's multiple women, you know, when something comes out and it's like 17 women accuse some dude of something or other, it's like, are they all lying? Almost certainly not. 35 women have come out about something that's gone on over 20, 30 years. It's like, there's almost certainly something there. So anyway, right, five different women, Noel Clark. I seem to remember as well, vaguely, that during the height of, or near the height of the Me Too movement, there was rumblings about Noel Clark. Now you get rumblings, where people used to say about Jimmy Savile before it was all shown. People used to say about Muhammad Al-Fayed before it was all shown. People say about Russell Brand, don't they, etc., etc. Certain names just get people like, you know. So I think Noel Clark has already been a sort of a finger vaguely pointed towards Noel Clark that he might be allegedly a sex criminal. Okay. What else have we got? Okay, UK rabbis back action on settler violence. This is a story I thought was mildly interesting, or is interesting. If you watched yesterday and you've been paying attention to the news over the last 48, 36 hours or whatever, Ed Miliband and the British government came out and poured scorn on Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government for the settlement violence in the West Bank, calling it illegal and terroristic and it's ethnic cleansing and that there was genocide in Gaza, etc., etc. And the obvious sort of backlash from the Israeli government all sorts of levels, throwing out our some sort of, is it not the full consulate in Tel Aviv, but some sort of diplomatic mission we got in Jerusalem, just ending that, throwing them out, putting sanctions against the likes of Jeremy Corbyn. He had nothing to do with it. And Burnham doesn't ask Jeremy Corbyn about policy, does he? Anyway. And of course, like, the Board of Deputies came out and condemned it. The head rabbi of Britain came out and condemned it. Also, another leading Jewish organisation. How many do they need? Came out and condemned it. But another group of Jewish rabbis came out and said, no, this is long overdue. We agree. And they pointed out, which is a fair point, that there's not, like, there is a diversity of thought and opinion amongst Jewish people, not just Israelis, but like the Jewish diaspora or whatever. It's not like a monolithic single mind. They've got all sorts of different views, and some rabbis, some Jewish people, agree with Miliband and the French government and the Canadian government and a dozen other European governments. They're sort of ashamed of what the settlers do, what the sort of extreme right in Israel, sort of the religious right, settler type people in the West Bank. Some Jews are ashamed by that, or just agree with Miliband. So there you go. There is a diversity of thought and opinion amongst Jewish people, absolutely, right? There's some Jewish people, I think it's interesting to note, one of the sort of quite orthodox sects, is that the right word? They don't even agree that Israel, they're ultra-Jewish, but they don't agree that this state of Israel is legit. For example, just one example of the spectrum of opinion amongst Jewish people. They're like, no, when they're like, it's very specific in the Torah or the Old Testament what situation needs to occur before Israel can be re-established properly. And those conditions weren't met in the late 1940s. So this isn't the proper Israel yet, still. Just an example, just a little example of how there is a sort of a swathe of different opinions. It's not just whatever Netty says, that's what all Jews think. No. Right, not close. Obviously, I mean, we say it out loud like that, kind of obviously. All right. That tea's gone a bit cold. Yuck. Move on to my backup water. This is water in this one, not another cup of tea. All right, what else we got? Noel Clark, we've done that. The iPaper. Oh, back to Farage. Police set to interview Farage over Reform UK donations. Nigel Farage is likely to be interviewed by the police, the Met Police, as part of the widening Met investigation into Reform UK's funding, the iPaper understands. Scotland Yard confirms inquiry into claims that Reform breached rules with potential illegal foreign donations. Detectives will examine if party broke law after Farage and other party figures were filmed in undercover sting. There's a little still picture of Nigel looking in a bit of a shocked face or something. So you know. Reform UK denies, quote, any wrongdoing, quote, and will, quote, fully cooperate with the investigation, a spokesman says. Nigel did come out, didn't he? And he said, like, not that long ago, I think during the conference even, or earlier this week, and just said, flatly, explicitly said, I, Nigel, and we, Reform, have done nothing wrong, have accepted no money in any wrong way or capacity. May well be true, mightn't it? May well be true. I'm not going to start dunking on them at this stage. Wouldn't be prudent. Okay, the Daily Mirror. Complete leftist slop. Labour Party. A Labour Party organ, effectively. They go with Farage, don't they? They can't stop themselves. Perhaps the worst Farage derangement syndrome on Fleet Street is the Mirror. Another day, another probe. Farage faces cop quiz on donors. Nigel's cop quiz. Police investigate after Reform Chiefs TV chat over illegal foreign funds. Okay, you get it. There's not much more to it. Of course, the Mirror love it. They absolutely love it. Okay. The Independent. I know it's just a banner, it's not the actual headline, but it says, Donald McIntyre says that Trump's silence has shaken Netanyahu. That is interesting. I read a longer article on that this morning, I think on the BBC. Yeah, and it was noted that the United States' response to Ed Miliband and the UK government and the French and Canadian government all coming out on the same day and condemning Israel in pretty strong words, to be honest. They noted that the US, the White House and the State Department, very, very mooted on it. I mean, Rubio was asked and he literally said no comment. Well, basically, it was a slightly longer statement that added up to no comment. It said something on the lines of, and I am paraphrasing, yeah, I've seen it, I'm aware of all that, what has happened, and at this time I'm not going to make any comments. Basically that. That's not what Bibi's going to like to hear, is it? He would have hoped, somebody like old Marco Rubio would come out all guns blazing, like Mike Huckabee did. Like, we absolutely condemn this anti-Semitism from the British government, and if they don't change their tune, we, the US government, are going to slap sanctions on them back, and this will not stand. Da, da, da. No, none of it. That's what Huckabee did. That's what Huckabee started doing. Of course he did. But no, Rubio was like... And Trump himself was not much stronger than that. I mean, a little bit more. He said a couple other words on it. It was like, he said, yeah, again, when asked, he was like, yeah, I've seen it, I'm aware of what's going on. And he said something like, I need to understand it, give me some time to understand what's gone on. He said, I'm not sure why they seem to have suddenly changed policy like this, but we were told that No Stern and Burnham and the Donald had a phone call on Monday, i.e. just before Miliband did this openly in the Commons. So Trump was aware at least one day beforehand. I mean, was on the podcast yesterday, and Big Harry Robinson did a segment all about it. He was making the argument, or suggesting, that it may well be that Ed Miliband and the British government and the Canadian and French government actually had the green light from the US. I don't know, of course, I don't know, got no inside track into what goes on at that sort of level, obviously. But it's not a bad inference. You could infer that Burnham said to the United States, if we do this, we want to do this, we want to say this, if we were to, how berserk would you guys go? Or can you give us your endorsement, like a green light, at least tacitly, to go ahead and do this? Start calling West Bank settlements ethnic cleansing. And if this is what played out, and it is a big if it is, the Donald and Rubio went, yeah, go for your life. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, do it. Well, if all that had happened, then it's shaken Netanyahu, according to Donald McIntyre. It may well be sort of exactly or something along those lines what played out. Trump's silence has shaken Netanyahu. Could well be an accurate description of reality, that. All right. Alright, the Independent, what else we've got? Oh, they're going with the, still the flight chaos. Flight chaos in Britain. Hundreds more flights cancelled, but Minister backs air traffic boss. Because people called on the air traffic boss. Air traffic boss. To quit. But the government, at least for now, have said, no, there's no need to. That would cause more chaos or anything right now, wouldn't it? Tens of thousands of passengers endure a second day of delays and are unlikely to see compensation. Oh yeah, that's the one other data point of any note on this, is that all the airlines, or not all of them, most of them are saying, yeah, all this disruption to your lives, for whatever reason, can't remember the technical reasons, it doesn't fall under the definition of something where we have to give you your money back. Classic, isn't it? Classic. Who could have guessed it? All right, Met begins criminal inquiry into foreign reform donations. We've basically done it, haven't we? Police launch investigations into claims in undercover Channel 4 sting that Farage aides breached rules on funding as party insists it has done nothing wrong. Okay, I won't keep going on about it now. All right, but the Metro. There you go, the Metro. Gross. The Metro. Air traffic chief on brink as chaos goes on. Ready for departure? This is the guy. Look, that's his face. That's the air traffic boss. And that's his face. He makes 10 times the amount the Prime Minister does. And that's his face. Happy now. Is he ready for departure from his job? Slop, isn't it? All right, the Daily Telegraph. Pure globalist slop, the Telegraph. German-owned, pro-Zionist, anti-British nativist or Oh, Alistair Heath's piped up. The arbiter of truth, the best opinions in the world from Alistair Heath. What have we got? The great mind, the political genius. Everything he thinks is correct. If you don't agree with him, or don't agree with him on everything, you're wrong-headed, perhaps even a Nazi. Alistair Heath, shame on Ed Miliband, appeaser of Islamists. Pipe down, Alistair. Pipe down, bro. Who told you your opinion is actually of value? You're huffing your own farts here, mate. Some people have told you your opinion is of real value and you're in step with what people think. I believe you're not. You're not. You're old hat. Telegraph. Zionist slop, isn't it? Isn't it now? All right. They've got a picture of that Rosamund Pike. She's a beautiful woman. That's a terrible picture. How can you take a really beautiful woman? You want to put her on your front page. You decided you're going with that. Let's get a picture where she's like, doesn't really look like herself even. Okay. Pike on parade. It's nothing. There's just some sort of award ceremony or something. She hasn't done or said anything of any real value. All right. Labour's new tax assault on hospitality. Why not? Of course. Burnham gives mayor's power to for unlimited levy on stays. In blow for pubs and tourists. So the story basically is, yeah, this like the further push for devolution. He's just going to give mayors all the powers. What type of powers? All the powers to put as much tax as they want on, well, we've already read it, on pubs and things. Hospitality type stuff, restaurants. Even, I think, does it extend to even hotels and things? Okay, will they or not? Will the mayors use those powers to do such things and ruin our internal tourism industry? Maybe they make it so crazily expensive to go abroad. So people are like, oh, okay. It's going to cost the same to go to Italy as it used to cost before the pandemic to go to Australia. Okay, well, because of the cost of living and inflation and all sorts of things, I guess I'll just start going on holiday in Britain then. We'll just go to the Cotswolds or something. We'll just go to the Cairngorms. We'll just pop down to Cornwall for a week instead then. Oh no, that's going to be insanely expensive as well. Oh right. That's just going to be insanely expensive. Right. Great. PM, social security, not national security. This is mad. They had PMQs yesterday, didn't they? PMQs on a Wednesday, every Wednesday. And Andy Bumham, no Stone and Burnham, actually said, just flat out said, that social security is more important than national security. There it is. Somewhere in the chattering classes, someone accused him of saying the quiet part out loud, that old cliche. Yeah, yeah. Just explicitly said, when asked about funding, how are you going to keep funding the welfare bill? Is it going to be at the expense of, like, defence spending? He was basically, yeah. National security is not more important than social security. There you go. There it is, sort of in a nutshell, in a very, in, like, you know, there's an art to brevity, isn't there? Could it be any more sort of succinct, wrapped up with a little bow? Social security is more important than national security. He'd much rather pay for freeloaders and invaders than for our army. There you go. Keep voting Labour if you want to, if that's what you want. You don't want us to be safe or our borders to be secure, but you do want to pay for your own invasion. Your own demographic decline. We've got to make sure that there's enough in the public purse to pay for our own invasion and replacement. Right. Okay. Do we need a few more cruisers or destroyers so that we could actually put a carrier group to sea? One of our two carriers? No. We've got to make sure our invaders have got access to free dentistry. We've got to make sure our invaders and their families they bring over can all go on the NHS. So no more Royal Navy for you. Okay, got it. Okay, I suppose so. That is what it is, isn't it? That's what it boils down to. It's not like a crazy exaggeration, me saying that stuff, is it? That is what it is. Okay. Madness. This Labour government are truly, truly traitorous. Treasonous. Okay. Labour sanctioned Israel, quote, to win election. This is Bibi himself. This is old Bibi saying that Labour have only said this about the West Bank in order to try and win votes for that by-election where the Starmer bot, Sir Keir Starlin, has stood down, hasn't he? Triggering a by-election in, where is it, Holborn and St Pancras. Relatively large Muslim population there. There's not all that many residential areas in there anyway. Bibi is claiming that it's all a ploy to try and help the Labour candidate win that. Like a pro-Muslim sentiment. Is it, Nettie? Is it? Might be a small element of that to it. Wouldn't rule that out, wouldn't discount that. But isn't it because some of the West Bank settlements really are just illegal and terroristic in nature and a form of ethnic cleansing? I'm just going to pretend none of that. There's no truth to that whatsoever on any level. It's about Holborn and St Pancras. I don't know how many people he's going to convince with that argument. Pardon me. A little bit of hay fever, it feels like, this morning. Okay, here's a mildly interesting story. It says, ex-SAS, the Special Air Service, 22SAS, the regiment, ex-SAS train Russians to fight in Ukraine. I had to reread that a couple of times. Like, they mean train Ukrainians to fight in Russia or something. No. Is to train Russians. They'll be ex-SAS, though, not serving SAS. There you go. Special Forces. Particularly ex-Special Forces. You know, they very, very often go into private military contracting, don't they? And then who knows what they'll get involved with all around the world. Off the books. So, yeah, I can believe it. Alright. AI bots, this is the headline I'm reading. If you're only listening to the audio and you're not actually seeing what's on the screen, you just listen to the audio, so I'm reading a headline. It says, AI bots could kill us all in 4 years. You're thinking, Bo, who's saying that? Where's that come from? What's the source on that? That must be some tinfoil hat wearing psycho, some idiot who doesn't know what he's talking about. No, it's one of the most senior researchers at OpenAI. That's quit over it. You're saying there's some sort of arms race, so to speak, between OpenAI and Anthropic about who can get to super intelligence the first. there's this whole thing called super intelligence where it, I mean, I hesitate to say, but it is a, it feels, it sounds a little, when they describe it, it does sound a little bit like, pardon me, Terminator 2, Skynet, where some sort of AI model, not exactly become self-aware, but it no longer needs any more code from any human. It's nowhere near needing that. It writes its own code and upgrades itself all automatically, all in the blink of an eye. This is what they're talking about, right? I'm not making it up. Because most people who watch this, who know me and my views, know that I'm deeply suspicious and concerned about AI. I've been banging that drum for a couple of years. Well, once they get to a true machine learning super intelligence, quote unquote super intelligence, then it's sort of out of our hands. Again, a little bit like Skynet. It's out of our hands at that point, or largely would be, almost certainly would be, or could very easily be, put it that way. I do apologise, I've got a runny nose this morning. I think that's the first time in 9 months this has happened, so I do apologise for the sniffing. Yeah, OpenAI and Anthropic are apparently just racing each other to get there first. Why? To what end? Who? Surely it's just extremely dangerous. And it's like unchecked, and there's other reports in the news today that various bodies or organisations that are supposed to sort of keep a check or test on AI, potentially dangerous AI developments, that Anthropic, at least, is like deliberately not being transparent with them. Surely it's concerning. Anyone out there that has always said, whenever I've voiced concerns about AI, when they say, they just dismiss it out of hand. Stop being a boomer. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand. It's just a large language model. It's basically a glorified search engine that appears like it talks like a human. No. No. Large language models are only one tiny, tiny corner of what AI is. Why are you worried about AI? It's just Grok. It's just generating an image. It's just Grok. Don't worry about it. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. No. AI has got the capacity to be a million and one things. Things we don't even know yet. That's the danger, isn't it? Things that we can't even guess. Even experts can't even guess what it might be, what it might morph into. Think, for example, one example is when Rutherford, was it Rutherford? Maybe Niels Bohr. Maybe Einstein himself, when they first realised that there truly was a gigantic amount of energy in every atom. Right, from that moment to the first test of a Tsar bomber, the biggest ever thermonuclear explosion ever tested by the Soviets in the 60s, right? We're at like that Rutherford moment with AI. We're like the first thing, oh, it could be this. Oh, it does indeed mean this. Who would really, in the 10 minutes after Rutherford found that out, was it Rutherford? I should get it right. Anyway, you get the point I'm making. You get the point I'm making. In the 10 minutes after that was realised, not many people would have thought, oh, there will be 50 megaton nuclear explosions now. That was definitely locked in. That's like a direct cause and effect. That's a direct consequence of realising this thing will mean thermonuclear, giant thermonuclear bombs. Or another example, the first ever piston, like the first ever massive single piston used to pump water out of a mine in the 18th century. Fast forward, a monstrous V12 Formula One engine. One is the consequence of the other. It just follows. If you just let men, engineers, scientists, just keep going further and further and further, you'll end up with this crazy thing that you could never really imagine in the first place. Extrapolate out what AI, that with AI. Am I just being paranoid? Shall I just move on now? Yes. To moving on, not to being paranoid. Well, I am paranoid, but is it well-founded paranoia? All right, the Financial Times. Oh, look, they go with it as well. Anthropic held back frontier AI model from British checks. AI tests agency, excluded in pre-release. Alarm at Trump tech protectionism. Yeah, Anthropic at least He's not being really all that clear with what they're doing. Bit worrying, isn't it? Even when people, and over the last 2-3 days, there's been a number of stories of people deep inside these companies, like OpenAI and Anthropic and whatever. People like right at the heart of it. You people, right at the heart of it. People that have been involved with AI development and technology from the beginning. Fair few of them. Half a dozen, at least I can remember, in the last 3 days or so. So there will be dozens of them in reality, maybe hundreds, all saying, wait, 1 minute. Okay, this is dangerous. This is really dangerous. We don't know what we're getting ourselves into here. It could be catastrophic. Well, I don't think there's much value in being like smugly vindicated after something terrible happens. There's not much value in that, or any real value in it. What's the good of that? I told you first. I was the first to say it. Yeah, well done. Having said that, smug face. I will be saying, I told you so. No, this is terrible. This isn't just a small win, a small vindication. It could be catastrophic for human civilization. It's that big. All right. I'm not the only one. Police probe Reform UK. We've done that, haven't we? Oh, it's already 22. That went fast. Really? 40 minutes. It was like 10 or 15. All right. The star. What's the slot they're giving us here? Ricky Hatton, ex-boxer. Ricky Hatton's ex speaks for first time. Don't care. What could she possibly have to say of any value? Sydney Sweeney there, a bit of side boob. You can rely on the star to every once in a while maybe give you a bit of side boob. Sydney Sweeney's side boob there. Okay. Boff. A boffin. A clever person. Boff. It's such terrible writing and journalism, isn't it? Clever person, a boff, says, AI will kill us in 10 years and we won't be back. Oh, me. There's a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Deliberately mispronouncing it there. Arnie there. That's from Terminator 1, isn't it? Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 are good films. The rest of the franchise. Terminator 1's good. Terminator 2's great. Hasta la vista, baby. Oh, they've also got a Dalek saying exterminate. I mean, the people that put together this front page, is it that they've got the mind of a child, or they just assume you have? This is like some sort of year 7 collage, isn't it? Not even that, year 5. Let's have a picture, like an AI-generated picture of a mushroom cloud. We'll put Arnie from Terminator 1 on it. We'll crudely cut out a Dalek, put a speech bubble on it saying exterminate, and the headline will be Hasta la Vista. On above it, we'll put Boff. Boff, AI to kill us in 10 years, and we won't be back. Like Arnie said, I'll be back. Remember that? Arnie said, I'll be back, but we won't be back. Senior editors on that said, yep, go to print. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Senior editors, someone came to them with that as a proposed front page, and they were like, yes. Wow. That doesn't make us look stupid. That's good. Could we get a bit of Sydney Sweeney side boob as well? Yes, we can do that. We can make that happen. Yeah. Pathetically poor. Really poor. I do apologise for sniffing today. In fact, Harry.
Yeah.
Would you mind getting me a bit of tissue? Yeah. Mind popping out and getting me a bit of tissue? Sorry, we're live. This happens sometimes. I'll have to remember going forward. I've got tissue on me. I have to remember going forward in case something like this happens again. I've been fighting off a sneeze for like 15 minutes here. Don't sneeze. Okay, I'll move on. Oh, I do apologise. Okay, The Express, The Daily Express. It's a good paper. You can read your Express now. It's not a good paper, I'm being sarcastic. That's an Alan Partridge line. It's pure globalist slop. wearing the skin suit of patriotism and nativism, pretending it's ever so slightly right of centre, if that. Okay, Harry, do you mind? Sorry, mate. Cheers. Cheers. Thank you. I do apologise. Okay, we are live. I told you before, at some point, one day, I am going to have like a sneezing fit. You know, sometimes if I sneeze, I might be like 10 sneezes or more. One day that's going to happen. Or I'll get the hiccups. That'll happen one morning, I'm sure. If I have to keep doing this for years, one morning I'll get the hiccups. I won't be able to stop hiccuping. Okay, we'll move on now. Oh yeah, the Express have decided that it's the royals is important. Aides confirmed Charles had a conversation with his son soon after he arrived back. If you paid attention to the news yesterday, they were saying Harry's been back for 2 weeks and he hasn't even had a single conversation with his own dad, the king. Now they're reporting, no, he has though, sorry, that was wrong. Well, they're not saying sorry, they never apologise, do they? That was wrong. He has spoken with, the king has, underlined, spoken with Harry since return. Thing is, I don't give a monkey's one way or the other, so let's just move on. The Mail, a pure globalist slop as well. Burnham, national security can't come at the expense of social security. You psycho. You psycho son of a bitch. Is that swearing? S-O-B? I don't think so. In my opinion, it's close to swearing, isn't it? If you put that in a film, could it no longer be a U? It would have to be a PG. You psycho, psycho, socialist son of a bitch. Traitor. Imagine being the leader of a country. A country. And saying that national security can't come at the expense of social security. Mental. You are mental, Andy. You are not fit to be the leader. Not even close. The Mail characterises it as Prime Minister's staggering admission. As Kemi says, it confirms Labour is officially the welfare party. Yeah, they're not wrong, are they? In my opinion, that is an accurate way to characterise it. All right, they're the increasingly infuriating and absurd front pages today in the British print media. Okay, let's have a look at our poll. We usually do our poll at this time of the day. Okay, yeah, me and Harry decided this morning we were going to go with something completely different. We've asked you loads about Farage. Do you think Farage has done anything wrong? Do you think Reform have done anything wrong? Have they broken rules? We've done that poll a number of times, haven't we? At least two or three times of variants on that poll. So I decided we'd do a day where we just ask you something completely different. We've done that a bunch of times, haven't we? Just out of the blue, ask you something about Indiana Jones or something. All right, well, today we've done that. We asked you guys, what is the best Star Wars film? Obviously, only out of the first trilogy, episodes 4, 5 and 6. They're the best ones by far, obviously. How much of a contrarian would you have to be to argue that episodes 1, 2 and 3 are better? How poor of taste would you have to think that? How much of a fail in having an opinion is that? So, out of the good Star Wars films, the original three, episodes 4, 5 and 6, what's the best one? We asked you. Just shy of 1,000 votes here, or it's going to tick over 1,000 votes any second. Yeah, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi. Also, one of the options was I've never seen Star Wars. Well, Empire Strikes Back wins. Fair enough. It wins quite easily as well. 50% said Empire. 17% said Jedi. And 15% say A New Hope. And not inconsiderable 18% of you say you've never seen Star Wars. I mean, you probably want to sort that out. probably want to have a word with yourself and sort that out. They're not that great. So Empire wins. Myself personally, over the years, I've vacillated between Empire and Jedi. If you'd asked me at different points in my life, adult life, I would have given you the answer either Empire or Jedi. And it's not that I don't think A New Hope isn't a great film. It's a great standalone film. Absolutely brilliant. I think I'd go with Empire. For most of my adult life, I would answer that question, Empire Strikes Back. So, there you go. Me and the Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, on the same page, effectively. I'm really trying not to sneeze here. Have you ever had it where, for some social situation, you just can't sneeze or you can't cough? It's like in the middle of someone's nuptials at a wedding. Don't sneeze, don't cough. You're trying to hide for some reason. Don't sneeze. Oh my God. All right. Okay, we usually check in with the price of oil at this point. Oh, it has gone over 100. It has gone over 100. Well, Brent crude has. Brent crude. Let's do a quick refresh. I only refreshed it just before the show started. So let's do a reload of the page. These are real-time prices. Oh, look. $101.3 for a barrel of Brent. And even West Texas is 96. There you go. I did see in the news cycle this morning on normal TV, Sky News, they were talking about it. It's gone over $100 a barrel. All right, let's move on a bit. There was one story on the Mail. I'm pretty sure it's the Mail. It was Peter Hitchens. And it's all right, don't worry. I'm not just going to dunk on Peter Hitchens here, which I've done a number of times. Wrote an article about Zuma Doomers, which was a very, very thinly veiled attack at his doomerism and defeatism. And on Twitter, I've had one or two run-ins with him. Ratioed him easily, actually. Lots of his takes are terrible, terrible. But here's one. He's penned an article. It is behind the paywall on the Mail. But nonetheless, I can only really see the headline. But I agree with this. I do agree with this. Because tomorrow is the anniversary of 9/11, isn't it? 25 years, in fact. The headline reads, "The nightmare of 9/11 became a pretext for a new age of repression, stupid wars, and censorship." Oh, absolutely, where's the lie there? Absolutely correct. "How I miss the freedom, light, joy, and humour that existed before. We will never get them back. I see no sign of it." Slightly disagree with "we'll never get them back." We might. Who knows what the future holds? I suspect Hitchens is right as well in that. We'll never get them back. Well, we might. Who knows what the future holds? It's not yet written. Given centuries or millennia, we may well get them back to some degree. But the main point there, "how I miss the freedom, the light, the joy and the humour that existed before." Yeah. Said to a number of people, I've written an article 2 or 3 years ago now about 9/11. Pardon me. For one of the anniversaries, I think 2, maybe 3 years ago. And I was old enough to be fully aware of what's going on. I was at uni by that point. I was already 19, 20 years old. And so I experienced it as an adult. Right? I've spoken to a fair few people in the office. You're right, Samson. Samson's just come in. That's not easy. What do you want? What's up? Again, we're live. No worries. It's all right, mate. Don't worry about it. Our producer. Lead producer. Head of production. Okay, he's left the room now. About 9/11, spoke to loads of people in the office who were too young. They either weren't even born, or they were like, yeah, I was 4 years old, 5 years old, I don't really remember it properly. I certainly don't remember what the world, what society was like in the 1990s. And it's hard, impossible really to convey to them what it was like. It felt a different world. It felt like a different world. People said this about 1914. Lots of accounts, lots of historians say, the world before World War I and the world during and after World War I were night and day. They were different. It was a different society. It was a different world. It was a different dynamic, a different... It's hard to put your finger on what it was like before 9/11. In the West, anyway, in the West. It was far less dark. I mean, Hitchens calls it light, joy, freedom, humour. Yeah. There was still cynicism. There was still the Gen X sort of cynicism. There was still a type of social malaise. Wasn't the Columbine shooting before 9/11, wasn't it? I think it was 1999. Anyway, it's not like everything was perfect. Of course not. Far from it. But the world was put on a different timeline by 9/11. History pivoted there and went a different way. Big time. On 9/11. Everything changed. And the incredible thing about it was you knew it in real time after watching a few seconds of the news that day. You knew it right away. You're like, oh, human history has just gone down a different route now. Like a Tron light cycle. Boom, gone. There you go. Different. Everything's different now. Okay, I guess we'll be talking about 9/11 tomorrow. It'll probably be all in the news cycle, won't it? I'll talk more about it. Happy to. How World Trade Center 7 fell down. The physics behind that, maybe. Actually, should I get one of the lads to fashion me an actual tinfoil hat? Let's talk about Building 7. It's not funny. It's really not funny. Let's talk about that crash site in Pennsylvania. Let's talk about the tiny amount of CCTV footage that was released of the plane that supposedly flew to the Pentagon. Let's talk about the dancing Israelis. No, all right, let's move on. Let's move on. Too spicy. All right. In the Sun, this guy. He was one of PC Harper's killers. It's revealing now he's also a sex offender. Oh, and they are letting them out early. It's the sort of person that in the ancient world would be executed. They think the rules just simply don't apply to them. They'll do sex crime and at least contribute to the death of a policeman. Obviously, he didn't really have policemen in the ancient world, but still. Whoever enforces the laws, the norms of society, you contributed in large part towards their killing. And you committed sex crime. At the very least, you're ostracized, if not put down, like a rabid dog that can't be trusted, that is dangerous. We let them out. We give them minimal punishment. I can't even look at his face. Can't even look at it. All right, let's do it on this day in history. You guys seem to like that bit. My eyes watering now a bit. I'm going to start sneezing soon. Okay. I might have to rush through things a bit. Someone says Bo's boogers. It's not boogers. It's just, anyway. On this day in history, September the 10th, down through the centuries, nay the millennia, what happened of note? Let's have a little look-see. On this day in 1776, George Washington asks for a spire, and Nathan Hale volunteers. Oh, dear. So he was actually caught by the British, obviously in the War of Independence, the Revolutionary War. He was caught by the British and executed. And he's the guy, isn't he, who said, my only regret is that I've only got one life to give for my country. Ultra, ultra, uber patriot. Type of patriotism most of us can barely comprehend. Not only am I happy to die, to be martyred for the cause, my only wish is I could do it more than once. Based. Okay. Nathan Hale, if you're interested, look that up in your own time. On this day in 1813, American naval commander Oliver Hazard Perry, one of their greats, this is the War of 1812, Most things actually happened in the War of 1812, in 1813 and 1814. Anyway, American naval commander Oliver Hazard Perry defeats the British at the Battle of Lake Erie, which was pivotal, meaning that the Royal Navy was just out of that entire theatre of combat. It meant that the United States could retake places like Detroit and a whole number of places. It was on Lake Erie. The Royal Navy had a few vessels, like half a dozen ships or maybe a bit more. And the Americans took them on and won. There you go. Probably that alone condemned the War of 1812 to be unwinnable from the British side, from the British point of view. All right. Oh, do you think I've got long form content all about it? Actually, it's on History Bro. Actually, it's on where is it? In conversation with Benjamin Boyce. In conversation with Benjamin Boyce. Long form content all about the War of 1812, if you're interested. Oh, it's also on Epochs, actually. It's one of the ones that's on Epochs and on History Bro. That's my history themed content behind the paywall on loadseaters.com. Rodane's Epochs, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month. Bronze tier membership, you get access to over 280 long form videos about history. Many of them in conversation with Mr. Cole Benjamin, aka Saga Ricad. A body of work built up over 5 years, quite literally and without exaggeration, hundreds and hundreds of hours of history themed content there, if you want to know about that. Okay, what's the next thing? What have we got? On this day in 1848, Elias Howe takes out a US patent for a lock stitch sewing machine. I don't care about that. I said before, haven't I? It has to be something quite obscure and boring in history. Really quite obscure and really quite boring before I, like a massive history nerd, are like, yeah, don't care. Well, that's one of those things. The first ever patent on a locksmith sewing machine. Yeah, next thing. Okay. On this day in 1924, Leopold and Loeb are found guilty of the murder of Bobby Franks in Chicago, a kid, Bobby Franks, in The Crime of the Century. I must admit, I didn't know much about this or anything about this, and they were just two people. Loeb, was he Jew? I don't know. They were only young themselves. I think they were gay. They were only like 18 or 19 years old themselves. Anyway, they kidnapped, tortured and murdered some younger kid who was like 14. And I think, I might be wrong, I don't know all the details. I can't remember all the details. But I think it was that one of those murders where they did it just for its own sake. And they didn't have anything against that Bobby Franks. They wanted to do a murder for its own sake to sort of see if they could get away with it because they thought they were so clever. That sort of thing. Quite rare, but it happens. Okay, on this day in 1977, Hamida Janduby is convicted of torture and murder and is the last person to be executed by guillotine in France. That's late, isn't it? 1977. They were still guillotining people in 1977. This guy deserved it, though. He's a Tunisian, for a start. A Tunisian pimp. Who at some point decided one of his own girls that he was pimping really should... I think she was. She might not have been a prostitute, actually. Either way, he kidnapped her, tortured her and murdered her. The French authorities decided to lop off his head via guillotine. And then the Bleeding Heart Liberals got their way like they did across most of the Western world. And said, you can't execute people anymore. That would be morally wrong. Is it morally wrong to chop off the head of somebody like that? Is it? I don't think so. I think it's morally correct. Some crimes warrant death. You forfeited your life for that. In my opinion. Okay, on this day in 2008... The Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Switzerland, described as the biggest scientific experiment in the history of mankind, well, it is powered up in Geneva, Switzerland. Love CERN. Watch loads and loads and loads and loads of shows and documentaries about, read articles about CERN and the Large Hadron Collider. Yeah. They did discover the Higgs boson, didn't they, eventually? quite a few years after 2008. They first powered it up and switched it on for a while, briefly, for a few weeks, a few months, and then there was a problem with it. One of the super-cooled magnets didn't work, and then they had to turn it off for like another year or two, but then they got it online again, and now it's... firing particles at an appreciable percentage of the speed of light, seeing what happens, what comes out of that. Anyway. It looks now, one last thing, I'll quickly sound that before I move on, because I could easily talk for 10, 20 minutes, half an hour about the Large Hadron Collider. One of the things is, it now looks like it's probably not powerful enough to do the type of science they want or they need to do. The Large Hadron Collider is sort of a little bit too small, and it's not small, right? It's the biggest experiment ever created by the hands of men. But it needs to be a little bit more powerful than it's capable of being. And then they can do, that's what they're saying, then they can do some, a bit more science, which, well, anyway, hopefully one day, somewhere, they'll build an even larger, even more powerful particle accelerator. Okay, on this day in 2020, California's August Complex wildfire becomes the largest recorded in state history at 471,000 acres. That's 736 square miles. Yeah, completely different to like the Palisades fire. That was in 2025, wasn't it? The Palisades fire in LA. Yeah, in 2020, there was a giant, giant wildfire in California. All right. Let's move on. I've got to do more recording later this morning, so can't be here all morning. Is Global Church History going to be in at number one for our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let's look at our Rumble Rant first. Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? Is it a good day? Yes, there is. Global Church History in at number one. You say, today in 1481 AD, Otranto was liberated from the Ottomans after just over 1 year. Yeah, Otranto right on the heel of Italy, isn't it? Right on the heel of Italy. And the Ottomans took it in the 15th century. Because they were like, in the ascendancy westwards. But it was retaken by sort of papal forces, Genoese and papal forces, like a year later. That's what Global Church History is talking about there. And the other one you say is, in 1608, John Smith was made president of the Jamestown colony. Yeah, John Smith, interesting sort of English explorer and soldier, like forcing the Jamestown colony to be a success, despite weather and native attacks and lack of skills and tools, just making it work, just through hard work and gumption, elbow grease. He's famously supposed to have said, isn't he? If you don't work, you don't eat. Well, it's not his line, is it? That's from the Bible. That's a line from the Bible, but he sort of famously re-quoted it. And yeah, you want to be part of the Jamestown colony, you've got to work really, really, really hard, every single person. Well, it did work. Jamestown is there to this day, isn't it? All right. Next up, we've got global Jewish history. What are they going to say today? All right. We've got the next two are global Jewish history. He says, on September the 10th, 1981, amid the political backlash that followed Israel's destruction of Saddam Hussein's Ozirak nuclear reactor, evangelical pastor John Hagee held the first night to honour Israel. Did he? What do you want me to do with that? Did he? Okay. All right. And the next one says, this helped launch an organised evangelical response to America and international pressure on the Jewish state. This proved that Judaism and Christianity are the real history bros. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I think you're trying to be too clever by half. Let me read that again. This helped organise international pressure on Jewish state. This proved that Judaism and Christianity were the real history bros. What point are you trying to make? I'm honestly not really following what you're getting at particularly. All right. Fallen Firebird says, I find the watershed caused by certain traumatic events increasingly compelling. I guess he's talking about 9/11, perhaps. E.g., the psychic shock of World War One on Europe. Yeah. The destruction and death cast a shadow on the European soul forever. Yeah. The greatest catastrophe that has ever befallen Europe is World War One. Of course, the death toll of World War Two was bigger. But World War Two is really, in various ways, a continuation of World War One. It's like that's one big war and there was just a hiatus in the middle of it. How lots of historians look at that now. I view it like that. I spoke to Dan Carling once, the podfather of all history YouTubers, Dan Carling. Oh, so it's on there you go. On History Road, would you be interested in like an hour and 40 odd, I think it is, of me in conversation with Dan Carling, Hardcore Histories, Dan Carling? Would you be interested in that? We talk about all sorts of things. Talk about historiography, the nature of history, ask him a load of hypotheticals, like how many Bradley fighting vehicles would it take to destroy a Roman army? All stuff like that. You interested in that? Head over to History Bro. It's free. There's no paywall. Anyway. Why did I mention Dan Carling? Oh, yeah. Well he agrees. Sorry, that's why. Dan Carling agrees that World War One and World War Two are sort of the same conflict. There was just a hiatus in the middle, really. You can argue it the other way. No, they're complete, distinct and separate things. All right. But yeah, the shadow cast over the European soul forever by World War One. Yeah, the psychic shock of it. People were different. The human experience was something slightly different before and after World War One, yeah. 9/11's like that on a much smaller scale, of course. A much smaller degree, but yeah. Yeah. The psychic shock of it. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rant. The Super Chats, YouTube Super Chats, please. Harry, you need to bring that up for me. Would you make that so? Engage. There they are. Thank you. Okay, there's 20 or more than 20 probably here. I need to go and blow my nose and have a big sneeze. I'm going to whip through them, really whip through them today. I've got to as well. I'm supposed to be doing a recording at 10 with Chris Dangerfield, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Good old Dange. All right, CG Mam says, hope you were able to talk to Pitt. I was. Also played the show on the telly today. My missus says you are handsome and dapper. A woman of impeccable taste. Impeccable taste. Absolutely flawless. he says, so never doing that again. Okay. yeah, I did speak to Harrison Pitt about it. Yeah. We're working through it. We'll get him on again sometime soon, or I'll get him on State of Politics, perhaps State of Politics, and we'll go through, we'll have a proper conversation about it. Have a proper conversation about it. And, I mean, I haven't got time to really go through everything we talked about, because we talked about it for a fair bit, but they're aware and they're making policy about it, and it does boil down to a couple of different things. Apart from everything else, the pressure of, like, the bioweapon of having so many Indians here, that first and foremost, release the pressure on that. Try and remigrate a bunch of those first, and then you've got much more leverage against Modi or the Indian government, whether it's led by Modi or not. But what I'm trying to say, shorthand here, there is a multi-layer of thinking to the policy, or there will be, right? There will be. So it's not just simply deport all Indians in one day and cut out all their industry with a scalpel from our society and don't replace it with anything. No, it won't be that. It can't be that. So the thinking will be, the policy will be layered and it will make sense. That's what Harrison Pitt was telling me. So, but we'll talk about it in due time when the policy is sort of complete, really. It's not fully complete at this stage. So there you go. I suppose, just to say, CG Mam, it's not that they're not aware. They are very aware, painfully aware. It's not just the Indians as well. It's a couple of countries and peoples that have got like an overly powerful influence on Britain. Yeah. Okay. Aristotle Luton says, Bo, you're right. Yeah, I'm all right. I hope you are. You put, did you see the Labour candidate for Starmer's old seat, Somali and me? Somali and me, they've said. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, the state of it. That's what the Labour Party is now. That's what the Labour Party is. Some Somali woman. Some big fat Somali woman. Disgusting. I don't want Somalis to be MPs. I don't want them anywhere near power. I don't want any foreign person near power. Why would you? Machiavelli would be turning in his grave. No, don't let your enemies, racial, religious, tribal, don't let them be your overlords. Don't let them be your masters because they don't have your best interests at heart. Yeah, it's stating the obvious, isn't it? I don't want some Somali woman to be an MP, but that's who the Labour Party have selected. That's who they are. Insane traitors. Yeah. Sickening. It's really sickening. Varg231 says, money from overseas is bad, but people from overseas can become politicians. Make it make sense. Yeah, good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah, well, you can't have donations from an American person, but here's a Somali person to be the actual holder of office. Yeah. Mad. Tiger, spelled T-Y-G-R-8, says, petition for me to lead Bo's shadow cabinet called Bo's Bigotry Club. Bo's Brigade, where I'm helping organise and restore in Swindon South. Bo's Brigade. Pardon me. Okay, Tatum2733 says, what do I get if I'm right about oil? Still time, smiling. What do you get? Get a thumbs up, you get a well done. You get a, you were right, I was wrong. Did you say it'll go to like $200 or it'll break a record of whatever that is? Just shy of $200 or something. Is that what you said? You'll get kudos from me. You might get some snaps. Okay. You'll get recognition from me, certainly, certainly. Okay. And well, I did say all along that you may well be right, didn't I? I'm not ruling it out. You may well be right. Quite what may well be right. Okay, Brendan Lucas says, Burnham also at Prime Minister's questions, similar to Northern Ireland, if there is a clear majority for Scottish independence, that mandates a referendum, but he seemed unaware that the Northern Irish poll is treaty-bound. Oh, interesting. Interesting. I didn't watch all of the PMQs, so I actually didn't see that bit. Was that near the beginning or near the end of it? I can't remember. I can't remember. I didn't see that bit. Interesting though. Thanks, Brandon Lucas. £10 there. Very generous of you, sir. Appreciate it. I've got to move on. I'm going to whip through the next... Oh, there's still loads. I'm going to whip through them. I've actually got to. And I'll say that a lot, most days even. I've really got to today. Mr. Dickie Bingo says, imagine AI breaking into a gain-of-function lab. Exactly, exactly. Imagine it becoming capable of launching nuclear weapons or whatever. Yeah, just opening doors to, yeah, a gain-of-function lab. There you go. Nearly all humanity dead, botulism or whatever. Ebola. The AI just opened a lock. That's it. That's all that took. 99% of humanity gone. Like in 12 Monkeys. Brendan Lucas again says, Daleks aren't artificial intelligence. FFS. Daily Star. Yeah, Daily Star. Get it right. Daleks aren't even that. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, AI might kill us, Bo, which admittedly is a bit S. On the other hand, it does allow you to generate pics of yourself looking foreign, so not all bad. Yeah. I don't generate any of those pics. I've never generated a single picture of myself. There are other people do it. It's like giving yourself the nickname of, like, Ace. Or telling other people that you're cool. No, you can't do that. That's terrible. If other people do it, okay. But Just for the record, I don't generate any of those pictures. But yeah, they might destroy us, but at least you've got, at least Grok can generate funny pictures. Swings and roundabouts. Car Boot Bounty says, "Hi Bo, I've done a long video chat with Chris Dangerfield on my other YouTube channel. Don't get so emotional, people may like." And then you've got praying hands. On my other YouTube channel, don't get so... Is that what... Are you saying to me, don't get so emotional? Or is your YouTube channel called, don't get so emotional? I'm not sure there. Okay, thanks Carbeat Bounty. Yeah, Chris is a good guy. Brendan Lucas again says, "I like the Star Wars film where they go back in time and get a whale." Surely that's a troll. You're trolling there, Brendan, surely. That's a Star Trek film, isn't it? I find that quite funny. Deliberately confusing Star Trek and Star Wars. That is quite funny. Okay, Max Rove says, "I feel for you. Used to have snuffles, grumbling tum, or hacking attacks from dry air in meetings. Very annoying." Yeah, thanks, Max Rove. I appreciate that. I don't know. This is the first time, isn't it, in 9 months? I don't usually have this. I don't know what it is. This morning when I came in, even when the stream started, I didn't have this. Midstream, my nose has really started to run. I don't know if it's going to happen. Something like that's going to happen, isn't it? Okay. Tatum2733 says, "A man once said that big Sweeneys, in brackets, you know, are for peasants, whilst aristocrats appreciate small ones. But peasants have become emperor. But peasants have become emperors before, so I'm fine." Each to their own. Each to their own. I'm a fan of all shapes and sizes. Max Robe says, "Obviously, quote, it resounds and thunders far and wide, thine ancient honour, O Frisian soil." End quote. Okay, I don't know if that's a real quote from something or a real quote from something that you've changed to put Frisian at the end. I don't know. Either way, that's funny. Thank you for the super chat. Daniel D. King says, "Nottingham Council banned face coverings, but religious exemption. Muslim councillor in the papers giving interviews says face coverings scare people." In other words, no one's allowed to cover their face apart from Muslims because they're special and they're a client class and the rules don't actually apply to them. Everyone else, don't you dare cover your face. Yeah, classic. Bo's Beard, the next person, that's what they've called themselves, at Bo's Beard. "Anyone ever said you look like Vinnie Jones across the eyes from a distance on the main podcast?" No, I've been likened to loads of different people. I look like loads of different people. Everyone from Richard O'Brien and Cole Pilkington through to Agent 47 and like Jason Statham. I don't think I've ever had Vinnie Jones. I'll take it. He's not the most handsome guy in the world, but he's handsome enough to be in films. I'll take it. Tatum2733 says, on the penultimate one here, "I said we'd be in an oil crisis by November, December." That's right. "If I'm right, I'll take the kudos and you'll read a chapter of my book and tell me what you think." All right, yeah, deal. Fair enough. I didn't know you had a book. Fair enough. Okay, and the last one here, Mr. Gently Benevolence chimes in by saying, thank you, sir, by the way, that wasn't sarcastic. He chimes in. No, thank you, appreciate it. Mr. Gently Benevolence says, "Application for me to lead the battalion responsible for rounding up foreign types in Bowes Britain." Application granted, yeah. You'll be one of my captains. All right, that's the last one. I do apologise for the sniffles today. What can I say? All right, it's now 23 minutes past 9 in the AM British summertime on Thursday, the 10th of September, in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the gross band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. I am going to go and blow my nose now, thoroughly. Try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. Try and make it count. Carpe diem, seize the day. It's the most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Do try and make it count. All right then, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.